Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. During the show, you can join the conversation by calling 646-727-3206. Or join the Transformation Cafe live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning into the Transformation Cafe, whether you're here live with us on our Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or if you're on by demand. Demand is such a great thing. I actually have been enjoying listening to the after shows and kind of checking on things. So this is show 204. We're actually on our 204th show. Isn't that exciting? We will be having a special guest chef in the house, and we're going to talk about her in just a second. So Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight? And I have a question for you. Did you have to deal with being dyslexic when you were in school? Oh, is he there? Hold on a second. There you go. Did you hear my question, Jamie?
Yeah, this is unmuted Jamie. Unmuted Jamie, right? Okay, am I on?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you are.
Hey, can you hear me?
You're on, buddy.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just joking. yeah, I'm doing okay, and I never thought about it.
You never thought about it. Okay.
Well, I've always been right-handed. And as far as dyslexic, you mean, like not knowing how to read or write or
yeah, if you had challenges
opposites
with that when you were in school. Uh-huh.
No, never. Not really, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Well,
I never really thought about it, yeah.
Our guest tonight is Dr. Angie and Gonzalez, and she is going to be talking to us tonight about being dyslexic and also ADD and ADHD, all different kinds of things that when I know when I was in school, I had stuff where I was always wanting to read ahead of myself, and I've learned so much. She has a website which is called renaissancemind.org. It's a beautiful website. It has all kinds of wonderful videos on it with just real basic information that's just short, sweet, and to the point. How are you, Dr. Angie?
I am fabulous. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am doing so great. I just feel so blessed to know you now. I was teasing her out before we started, just saying, gosh, you're just so marvelous. And she just started laughing at me. You know? She's just such a talented lady. So just a little bit about Ms. Dr. Angie, because I don't think she's gonna brag about herself. So let me brag about her a little bit here. She was a pediatrician, and after she had had her children, her youngest started having difficulties in school. And despite the fact that they had done some homeschooling, he continued to have experiences of just really severe learning challenges. And she started focusing and found just different things that could be an option for the learning, and come to find out there's programs out there called the Davis programs. And so tell me a little, I'm sure you want to give a little bit more detail on that, about how you got started with all that, Dr. Angie. Where do you want to go off with that?
I just think it is important to start with understanding that so many of us out there, pediatricians, other professionals, just don't really understand these kids with dyslexia, ADD, mm-hmm. ADHD, and autism. And I think these kids are struggling so much, and much of the population thinks that they are having an issue with their ability to learn because of something going on with their level of intelligence. And there couldn't be anything more wrong with that thought process. And so what I knew about my little boy that no one was telling me or no one else understood was that I knew he was this brilliant kid. I mean, he was this little kid from the age of 3, he was inventing things. From the age mm-hmm. of 4, he could draw with perspective. And mm-hmm. then we got him and he started to just try to read, and he really couldn't comprehend or appreciate letters. And then he struggled so much with the idea of reading. And as he got further into the educational process, and we were in traditional public schooling, he began to feel bad about himself because he was this brilliant kid, but so much is based on their ability to read. So I saw this brilliant, brilliant child just begin to dwindle in his self-confidence. And it was heart-wrenching for me. My husband and I are both pediatricians, and we didn't know what to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
And the school didn't know what to do with it. And so we had him privately test it, and they wouldn't use the term dyslexia. And the person who tested him says, well, he's got memory issues, these issues. And so we said, okay, now what do we do? And no one really knew what to do. So it was me up crying one night searching for a solution for my son when I found the Davis program. And literally, I got involved with it and had him see a facilitator because it said you could have amazing results in a short period of time. And I didn't know what else to do. And for him, he went and did the Davis program. Self-esteem came up immediately, and he was able to increase his reading grade level by one full grade, actually in 4 days.
And yeah, that's amazing.
That
is
amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, and so for me, I thought, gosh, there's lots of pediatricians out there, but nobody knows about this. No one knows about this. So I went and got trained, and that's what I do.
That just seems so crazy that it's not something that's even just, there would be like one or two classes that would be available just, you know, when they're going through medical school.
Well, I don't think it's not the mainstream understanding of dyslexia currently.
Right.
So a lot of people are looking at dyslexia from a different point of view, our point of view. And what I loved when I read the book, The Gift of Dyslexia by Ronald Davis, was that he recognized my entire child, the totality of who he is. It was a very holistic approach. It wasn't just, oh, he struggles with reading. He also seemed to know that my child loved to build with Legos. He also seemed to know that my child was extremely visual and spatial. He also seemed to know that my child was very empathetic and intuitive. So I'm thinking, well, there's more going on here. And it came from a standpoint of if we can get to the root cause that's causing the problem and work with that, we can stop it from being a problem, and then they can just bathe and live in the beauty of that visual, spatial, conceptual style of thinking.
Yeah, I love the fact that you say that, you know, Ronald Davis, his whole philosophy is that these are gifted children.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I just,
exactly.
I'm like, well, and when you hear that, you go, well, yeah, of course they are. They're just not being encouraged in the areas of the way, like, I love the site because it just talks about they're very spatial in the way that they, their visual and spatial style of thinking. And I thought, yeah, me too.
Exactly, right? And think about the amazing other people that have the same style of thinking. If we look at our Leonardo da Vinci and Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein and all these amazing people who've created so much, very arguably, you can say they have this similar style of thinking.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Tesla and all. I just constantly.
Yeah.
Anybody who was basically what they considered a radical at the time of just like, you know, really pushing the edge of what people could even think was possible. And all these guys are all like, well, yeah, I can see it. Can't you? And nobody could.
Yeah.
Because they're just coming from a totally different perspective. So
my first
question to you is like, what if you're an adult and you see on these certain levels that those are aspects of something that you want to fine tune for yourself? Do you have things like that available within the Davis program where you can go back and kind of look at different things to be able to find? Because you said it's a matter of these kids learning that they've got tools and just seeing things from a different perspective to help modify things to help them to enhance what they've got going on and have it be a little more practical and just all the different ways that they could be limited when it comes to just regular education.
Yes. I tell people that I work with people from age 5 to 105. So age really
doesn't
matter.
Oh, good. Okay, good. There's hope for me yet.
Yeah. Well, what's beautiful is that, you know, we have wonderful people like you in the universe that come out and get through school, and then they go out and they do their craft, and they take that amazing visual, spatial, conceptual style of thinking and that intuitive, empathic nature, and they use it as an asset. It becomes strictly an asset. It's when we are shoving these little square pegs into these circular holes and shoving these out of the box into the box that is traditional education, that we stifle this ability to create or this want to create because we tell them that they're not doing things correctly. So if someone is out of school, I mean, I've worked with people up to the age of 53 years old, so it doesn't really doesn't matter, is that if there is something that is causing obstacles or hindering you somewhere in your life, then how about we use some tools, the first and most important one being an ability to focus. And what is focus even, right? We tell these little kids to focus, but we give them no tangible means of doing that. And everyone does it somehow their own way, right? But we can help these visual, spatial style of thinkers actually achieve focus. And when we are focused, we are perceiving the true facts and conditions of our environment. And we're what we call in Davis, we're oriented at that point. If we're disoriented, we're misperceiving the true facts and conditions of our environment, which is very powerful in the three-dimensional world. I mean, Albert Einstein comes up with the theory of relativity by being able to imagine what it would be like if he was traveling in a bus at the speed of light and actually feel what that would feel like, what would it look like, what was going on around him, and perceive that as a reality in that moment to begin his theory, correct? So for us, that kind of looks like, have you ever been like in your car and you pull into a parking space and maybe someone right next to you was pulling out and you didn't know they were pulling out, so you feel like your car is going forward fast?
Right.
Have you ever had that kind of sensation? Or you're parked on a hill and then a car takes off next to you and you feel like your car is sliding backwards and it's not.
Yes.
Right? And your whole body feels as if something is happening that's not really happening. So you slam on the brakes, right? So you you have a response to something that's not really happening. In that moment, you're not perceiving the true facts and conditions of your environment. You're disoriented. So focus is just finding a way to be oriented to perceiving those true facts and conditions. And we have a couple of ways that we can achieve that. So if an adult is experiencing difficulties in their life that may look like, well, people say they're saying something to me, but that's not what I actually hear. So I keep getting in arguments and miscommunicating with people. And maybe they'd like to have orientation, right?
I don't know why, but I'm just thinking that, the amount of people that are on drugs and drinking for just a level of coping mechanisms because they've got these conditions and don't even know that they can identify them as something like that.
Yeah, and we
have you ever had that kind of realization about that,
Yeah, yes, yes, especially like in our ADD and ADHD population. So a lot of them will self-medicate and attempt just to kind of bring down the amount of stimulation that they're experiencing because we tend to walk into a room and take in everything, right? And if we're taking in everything all the time, that can be overwhelming. So a lot of
like
individuals
going to the mall, you know,
self-medicate. Exactly. Going to the mall, walking into a room, and if we're empathic and intuitive on top of everything else, and we walk into a space and we're feeling everybody and everything, that can be a little overwhelming. And if we don't have a way to do that within ourselves, we may start to look outside of ourselves to help with that level of stimulation.
One thing I really liked about, like I said, if you go to the renaissancemind.org, there's all kinds of really mini videos there that help to define different aspects of what we're talking about. And this is, a large umbrella of different things that are underneath this stuff. And I told Dr. Angie we're definitely going to need to have her come back at least a couple times to talk about different stuff. But with the dyslexia, I loved how you were talking on one of the videos about the fact that when it comes to levels of being the visual and spatial styles that they have about thinking of something, it's like when you say dog, you can see the dog, or you say house, you can see a house, but when you use the word the, what do you do with that? You don't know what to do because it's not like there's anything out there to represent it.
Exactly. And like as a dyslexic, we need to know what a word sounds like, what a word looks like, and what a word means to truly master it. And the way we understand meaning and definitions is by being able to have a visual representation of it. So I can understand house very easily, right, because I can see what that is. And with that picture comes the concept of what it does. Same thing with a car or a dog. But there's actually about 219 words in our English language that we call in Davis trigger words. because they are words that give us no meaning. They have no visual meaning, intuitive meaning along with them. And when we see those words, they trigger a little confusion. And as dyslexics, when we're confused, we begin to misperceive. And if we're misperceiving, the words may start to do anything. They may disappear. Mm-hmm. They may add letters. They may flip around. They may jiggle. My son, when he did his program, and his facilitator asked him, does anything happen when you look at a page of text? He says, it looks like someone's trying to wring water out of it, like they're actually turning.
Oh, my. Wow.
And I think Henry Winkler said that he would sit in class, and all of the words would run off the page and onto the floor, and he'd be looking at blank pages.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, how can
how
you
frightening
read
that would
the
be.
Words they're doing?
How yeah, frightening,
but you
so
also don't
frightening.
Know that it's not. And you also don't know it's not normal, because when you're a kid, you don't know what anyone else has experienced, but soon you begin to understand. Soon you begin to understand this reading thing is a lot easier for other people than it is for me.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing to even think that somebody would be experiencing something like that, you know?
Right.
Because, I mean, for me, I know I'm always looking at something and I read it before I read it.
Yeah.
Is that dyslexic? I try to guess what it is before I go to it. Is that
dyslexic? I wouldn't necessarily jump to a diagnosis or label of dyslexia.
Right.
Okay. I think
we don't want to label Robin.
That's
good.
Yeah, we like Robin, but you know,
it's part of my gift.
Well, you know,
there you go. Yeah.
The thing with the dyslexic is every dyslexic that walks through your door is different than the individual before. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's an individual, for me in my office, when they walk through the door, all labels are just dropped outside the door because all it means is if someone comes in and they struggle with reading, let me help them with reading. If they struggle with math, let me help them with math. If they struggle with social relationships, let me help them with that. Whatever it is they need help with is what we're going to focus on because it's such a wide spectrum that we can't really point at one thing and go, oh, yeah, that's dyslexia. If you've got that, you're dyslexic because I think if you walk into an office of someone who specializes in dyslexia, you're probably going to walk out with a diagnosis of dyslexia. If you go into someone who specializes in ADD and ADHD, you're going to walk out with a diagnosis of because there's so much gray zone. Across those diagnoses.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially if you go to somebody who's already got that as their specialty, you know, why wouldn't they automatically look for those aspects of yourself? You know, if
you
there's anything that would be a clue to that. Yeah.
Right, and you can find
is any of this diet related?
You know, I think it's interesting. I don't know. That's not my specialty. But what I do know is that there are these kids tend to be hypersensitive, whether that's to certain foods plus or minus per individual, certain additives plus or minus per individual. My oldest son and I just recently went through a juice fast where he just juiced for 5 days, and he is dyslexic and dyspraxic, so he has some difficulties with left and right and with balance. And the amount of oversensitivity that he normally experiences with the environment was significantly reduced just by going on a juice fast. So is
that's
there
awesome.
Something to be said for that? Yeah, definitely.
So,
gluten
allergies or, you know, being hypersensitive to different kinds of, well, there's so many additives and everything else, and, you know, whether it's color dyes or the GMOs and just so many things that are being put into foods nowadays, unless you know that it's, you know, even, you know, just vegetables and fruit and vegetables from the grocery store, depending on where they come from and what's in the soil. You can be, you know, sensitive to things like that. So could those things also cause levels of anxiety?
I think so. Yes. I think we saw that. And I'm just going from, not from anything scientific, but from personal experience. We personally went on our juice fast, it was great for me. And my son was significantly more happy. The sadness he had been battling was much improved. His level of anxiety was much improved. And that hypersensitivity, he almost has like a tactile hypersensitivity, was severely diminished. So I would say anecdotally, yes, makes a difference. But it's going to be case by case.
What a blessing.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, we are juicing in this household.
Yeah. So, you know, I can give you the plug. My sister found a book from Trader Joe's. It's Cooking with Trader Joe's, and it's called The Skinny Dish, and it's all their vegetarian and all the different stuff that they've had going on. And I don't know why they don't sell it at Trader Joe's, but she wound up finding it at a Barnes & Noble for like $7. So.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Jumping off topic here, but I mean, well, not yeah. really, because we're talking about different kinds of stuff. And there's a full week of detox program, a detox program
oh,
that's in that, in the Trader Joe's, you know, Skinny Dish that they have. Yeah. It was by Jennifer Riley. I'm looking at it right here. That's probably why I'm bringing it up. But anyway, it just has all – I mean, they've got quinoa burgers and chickpeas burgers and just all different kinds of cookies and things like that that are made from just oat flour and things like that. So a lot of it's just, you know, just like with anything else, when, you know, you think there's just kind of one way of doing stuff and you start looking at all the different options of ways that you can find healthy ways of making things delicious and getting out of the box of what was normally how things are prepared, you can definitely make it to where, and here you're talking about your son and how he just was, it was a significant change. So it just shows that when we, yeah, just take the time to be able to say, well, you know, I'm going to work my way through that cookbook just to see what I like and stuff like that. So, because I have one of my daughters is that way. She's very sensitive to foods and things like that. And I think, you know, you and I will have to have you meet her. I think that would be something to be beneficial for
her.
That
would be very cool.
So,
yeah,
I'd love for you to meet her. I think that would be a wonderful thing. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about some of the strengths of, like, say, you know, with autism and ADD and the ADHD. Does each type seem to have different strengths, or is there kind of just, like you're saying, each one's individual depending on the person? Or does there seem to be kind of some of the stuff that stays on the same page?
I mean, for the most part, every individual is their own strengths and their own weaknesses. What we do find, mm-hmm. though, is that generally these individuals are more, they're not really linear in their thinking. So they mm-hmm. have the ability to, once they harness their abilities, they have the ability to multitask. They can mm-hmm. be extreme multitaskers. They also have mm-hmm. the ability to think very deeply. I remember my son, when we were watching the Winter Olympics a few years ago, and I said, you know, honey, isn't the ice dancing beautiful? I love ice skating. And he said, mm-hmm. yeah, Mom, but why are there lines in the rink? And why are there different colored lines? And how deep are the lines? And how much ice has to be over? So they're constantly thinking. So their ability to problem solve can be fascinating because mm-hmm. they don't have to look at it from A to B, right? They can look mm-hmm. at a million different possibilities and then quickly wean them out and come down to a mm-hmm. solution. So their ability to problem solve is amazing. Their ability to think three-dimensionally is very amazing. So you see these little kids that are building Legos like little architects. My youngest son mm-hmm. recently started drawing anatomy for no reason. Mm-hmm. He draws all the muscles. And here he is, you know, supposedly dyslexic. He had a program when he was 9. He's 15 now. So he's doing fabulous in school, except Spanish is a little bit of an issue because we've thrown in a new language, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
his ability to draw the human body and the muscles and label them in their Latin words is amazing. I posted
mm-hmm.
a couple of his pictures on Facebook. So we really as parents need to be looking toward what are the strengths of these children. It mm-hmm. may not be math.
So this is kind this is getting into a spiritual part of a conversation mm-hmm. with that. So the fact that he's got those abilities, do you think that's past mm-hmm. life stuff that's coming up for him?
You know, I don't know. I have theories outside of my Davis training. So I always mm-hmm. want to say, you know, there's Dr. Angie theories. And I think, this is my personal feeling, that these individuals, it's interesting when they're in my office, I have to be very cognizant of my energy and what I'm putting
mm-hmm.
out because they're extremely receptive. These individuals
mm-hmm.
also tend to be much more empathic, intuitive,
mm-hmm.
compassionate. They
mm-hmm.
seem to be, to me, a Dr. Angieism, more connected to that which is truth, which is source, to me. And so I find that aspect of it very, very interesting. And especially as we go into autism, I truly see that. These individuals I barely need to speak to them. I can deal a lot in working in how I'm feeling and how they're feeling.
So it's more telepathic?
I wouldn't even say telepathic. I think that means, I think of that more as a cognitive
thinking kind of thing.
Yeah, when it's more of just a mixing of energy.
Okay.
And tapping into that oneness. Because, I mean, if we're all connected and we are all of the same, then shouldn't we be able to tap into what someone else is feeling or thinking or sensing if we're very open to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully if it's a good thing. You don't necessarily want to go there if it's not so hot. I know.
Exactly. And so then,
but I mean, I think that's one of the challenges that we're talking about, you know, is that they don't know, they have that level of discernment. I mean, I have a girlfriend who's like that. She's very sensitive and has a high telepathic abilities. And she'll be around certain people, and she'll start having different kinds of, you know, physical things that come onto her. And I'm just like, is this yours or somebody else's? And she'll have to stop and like look and say, maybe this isn't mine. And I'm like, wow, I wish for you not to take that on a physical level, because, you know, there's one thing to help people, but to be so empathetic about that, you would take it on a physical level.
Yes, and they don't understand that certain feelings that someone may be having may not be feelings for them. They may be angry at somebody else, right?
Right.
And they come
and they're just sensing
it. Space. Exactly, and that person who is picking up on that feels as if that's directed toward them.
Well,
exactly.
A lot of it is just
go ahead,
educating.
That's Gloria. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. A lot of it is just educating parents so that they can help to educate their children. So the children know what they feel. I experienced that myself personally. If you don't know what's happening when you're feeling everything, you realize it's not yours, but only after somebody may bring it up and say, you know, what are you feeling? Because then you kind of, you have to separate yourself. Otherwise, it's like it sneaks up on you and attacks you.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're angry and you have no idea why, and if you have never been able to separate yourself from your emotions, you just begin to react according to the emotion you're feeling instead of being able to put yourself in check and to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not me. I feel okay. What is this?
Right.
It's very scary. It's very scary.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we need to do is we have to educate our parents. The parents need to have an understanding of things like how to bring themselves present, how to understand different perceptions, how to understand the power of words, how to understand how to control themselves. They need to be able to understand their child can't make them mad. Mad comes from inside of them. And once the parents can have an understanding that they can begin to teach it to their children, I think many parents don't understand that. I had a mom say the other day, she told her son, look what you made me say. And I said, no one can make you say anything. You have to take that ultimate responsibility on yourself. So we need to teach the parents that, and then the parents can share just what you were saying, Gloria, be able to share that and be able to ask their children, well, what are you feeling? Were you feeling that before?
It helps to empower the children also.
Exactly.
My son, I was on the cusp of the ADHD, and so I recognize the sensitivity, and I had done some studying before it came to the point where my son was experiencing it, and I was able to explain to him in languaging. I said, you have to learn how to control yourself. I said, you have more energy than other people. And I know that you can do that. And so teaching meditation, there are so many different tools out there to help children. And it's just about presenting it in the way in which they can understand it so that they don't feel ostracized and they recognize that it's just another attribute of being a human being.
Right. I think you're definitely right. With the Davis program, there are three tools that we provide the individual with. They get these tools on the very first day of the program. The first one is a tool, internal tool, that allows them to achieve focus or orientation. The next one is something called release, which allows them to relax and relieve tension. It is a way of coming kind of into body, becoming aware of your fingers and toes and connecting with the breath. And then the next tool is something called the energy dial. So these little kiddos, even as little as 5 years old, have the ability to monitor their internal energy level, if they're revving or if they're feeling kind of slow and sluggish. And they can change that energy level based on their own energy dial. I work with a dad with ADD, and he was saying that the house was just so chaotic. And what he learned to do was to tap into his tools right before going in the house at the end of the day. So he'd spend a few minutes in the car doing release and checking his energy dial, and him walking into the house with that more calm energy after coming home from work changed the entire household. So the kids are so intuitive, and they start to just spring off of whatever the parents are emanating, right? Mm-hmm. They begin to react to how the parents are coming into the household in the evening.
Well, we're down to we've done our 30 minutes. I didn't believe it. It just goes so fast. Yeah. So, Dr. Angie, we're definitely going to have you back because we just so much to know. And just remind everybody again, go to renaissancemind.org. And is there a contact number or an address that you want to give them besides what's available on the website, Dr. Angie?
The office number, if they want a telephone number, is 951-582-0262. And I do free 30-minute phone consultations for anyone who's concerned about themselves or their child. I'll spend 30 uninterrupted minutes with them on the phone. And then I have the new e-course coming out, which is called the Everyday Parent Fix-It Manual, in stage one, which is repairing self, which is going to teach parents how to find presence and how they're perceiving things and cause and effect and those types of things over an 8-week course.
Great. Well, I'll have you back on so we can talk about that, because that's definitely something that'll be going on. Now, when is that program going to start?
If all is good in the universe, June 1st.
June 1st. Okay, great. Okay, great. Well, thank you, Dr. Angie. You're just so wonderful.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for changing your practice from being a pediatrician to just going out there and helping all these people with autism and dyslexia and just all kinds of stuff. So we look forward to you being on the show once again, and we will see you next time here at the cafe.
Thanks. This has been
another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special. And we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.